it's like basically creating your own internet, John. It's just a system of tubes.
It's a tube. It's a system of tubes that carries cats. What is the internet but that?
That's it.
Born you should cold cats. Open the episode with that. Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. We were just talking about how the internet is a series of tubes carrying cats, and I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach. Get some tubes. Connect your houses with your neighbor's house.
Let your cats
hang out.
Yeah.
And you have your own, I think that they call that an intranet. No, yes. an intranet would be just if your house has tubes where your own cats can go.
Well, no, through. So you can have intranet across multiple like buildings and floors of buildings.
But it's just a contained.
It doesn't go out to the wider world.
Okay, so build yourself an intranet with your neighbors so your cats can hang out.
Cats can just fucking hang out with each other, be homies.
Yeah.
Or get real pissed at each other and yell and scream at 3 a.m.
Hey, man, that's just cats, the cat life.
Yeah.
Lord knows mine does it. He's fucking tearing ass around the condo, just howling his head off at nights.
He's shitting halfway through us recording an episode of a podcast.
Yep.
And then he fucking just zoomies all over the place.
That's what it is. And I come out and I have to vacuum because there's
litter. I fucking love cats, dude. Anyways.
He specifically launches himself over the litter catcher. Matt that you gave me.
Yeah.
Does not like that one bit.
Yeah. No cat ever does.
And distributes litter equally amongst my entire place.
Oh God.
Anyways. All right. Speaking of, sand in the desert.
That's a much better segue. That's
not a bad one.
That's a much better segue than your previous segue this week. Our listeners are going to be so fucking.
That's fine. Whatever. Confused.
Whatever.
Is anyone still listening at this point?
I don't know. But we're talking about Paul today. Paul's got a little bit of stuff going on inside of the tent, as it were.
And he tells us this at the beginning. They're spicing the tent.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Once again, that's 2 weeks in a row, baby. God, I love how Paul's so just fucking...
expositional.
Yeah. Yeah, we see more of the lipstick light. Still, you know, raising capital to build to bring that to our own world.
Patreon coming soon.
No, there will not be a Patreon for a lipstick light. Jesus Christ.
Kickstarter. That's what I meant. I meant Kickstarter. Excuse me. Yeah. Kickstarter.
And like we talked about at the end of the episode yesterday, everyone knows if you cough, you're a bitch.
Yep.
And what does Paul do? Just starts coughing a lot.
Oh, my God.
He has a huge cough and then just a huge exhale, and then just his eyes glaze over and he's just staring into nothing.
We get some subtle whooshing sounds in the background that let us know something's afoot.
Begins to swell a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we cut to a vision. Unlike previous visions, this one does not have a sepia tone filter applied to it.
Not yet.
So I have some things that some stuff going on with the sepia versus the not sepia tone, but the sepia tone part we'll get to tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is a very clear vision that Paul's having here. Mm-hmm. Chani is walking in an all white shawl and walking away from the camera.
We don't know it's Chani at first.
It's Chani.
Well, I know that. We know.
It's the same woman that we've seen in every single one of Paul's other visions.
Yeah, but there is a slight reveal, a very small reveal as we see the person turn around.
Yeah. So she's walking away from the camera. From this point on, the camera is Paul. She's walking away from Paul. We cut back to inside the tent and present Paul. We're going to go back to vision Paul, present Paul, past Paul, all those different Pauls here. Present Paul is still staring at nothing. Eyes are still glazed over.
Just in a fugue state.
He's starting to feel it, Mr. Krabs. We're back to Chani, and she continues walking. And then over the music and over everything else, we start to hear a lot of yelling voices, mm-hmm. almost like you would hear from a fight.
Yeah, if fights, you had fight
a lot sounds. Of people, a lot of people together.
Clanging of metal.
Well, we don't really hear the clanging of metal. It's more just the voices that we hear. That's beginning to, you know, fade in over the music, and Chani turns around and we see her face for the first time. Not really for the first time, actually, because we see her face very clearly in other visions, but it is just full on Chani's face. And
well,
in
it's the first time here. Sans like still sued.
Yes. She's smiling at Paul, and then the camera begins to push past her mm-hmm. over her shoulder to then see that there's a skirmish or a battle yeah. going on.
Yep.
In the valley beneath where they're standing.
Yeah.
We see Fremen in tan armor suits pushing against white armor suits, which we know are Sardaukar.
Yep.
When I was going through all of this, you know, we see, you know, some Fremen rising up from the sand. We see some Fremen that are already, you know, in this skirmish and everything. There's a lot of Fremen that are here. There are a lot of Sardaukar yeah. that are here. You also see some pretty characteristic to the Fremen movements or
like acrobats, acrobatics.
Acrobatics, yeah. Yeah. One guy in particular has a very high acrobatic role that he made on his D20, where he's doing like a large like leaping jump overhead with like both of his hands on his Chris knife. It's kind of like above his head, like he's gonna like slam it down mm-hmm. onto
yeah.
someone well, else.
They're all doing like anime flips and stuff out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to see. It's hard to tell exactly how many Fremen are out there because they're just popping out of the sand, and so we don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't take the time to count Sardaukar that we see.
There's so many.
Yeah, that would have taken a while.
There's at least 100 on either side.
But the point is there are clearly more Fremen.
Yes, because yeah. they keep on
yep.
coming out from the sands.
Yeah.
So the thing about Paul's visions, Paul's prescience, is that this is kind of where you kind of have creative liberties to determine what is like actually true versus what's metaphorical in this case.
Sure.
We know from Dune part two, that the Fremen actually do hide under the sands and they rise. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, we know that from part one. We yeah. saw that in the first few minutes.
Yeah, we see them. It might be minute two that we see that.
Yeah. But I also see that as like Arrakis keeps producing Fremen, like the Fremen keep on rising no matter what.
Interesting. Okay. I like that interpretation.
There's just a shitload of them.
Yeah.
Way more than anyone ever thought.
Yeah. Gotta say, their armor looks dope.
So I have this in my notes for tomorrow's episode because
we can talk about it then.
Yeah, because it's a lot more relevant.
Yeah, we see it more.
We see it in more detail. I just think it's, for now, I'll leave it as it's interesting that they're wearing actual armor versus what we see them wear later on in part two.
Sure.
I feel like it was a... And I checked Art and Soul to see if there was any comments on the armor and stuff. I feel like it was much more of a, this is part one and we're not exactly greenlit for part two, so we're going to just kind of do what we want to do decision.
Okay.
But yeah, we see this battle happening from the wider, like over the cliffside shot. And then we go down into the actual mm-hmm. fight itself.
Yeah.
The camera cuts and focuses on one particular Fremen leaping out of the sands. And according to my notes, does some Power Rangers ass flips and shit. Ending the minute with a flip over he kind of does a cartwheel over the body of a Sardaukar. And mm-hmm. as he's exiting that flip, slashes the throat of that Sardaukar warrior.
Again, no shields to be seen.
Nope. Why would we ever use shields?
You know, maybe this is just they needed a fast action scene. This is also a vision, so it's not going to be wholly accurate to correct real life.
And that's the thing to remember about Paul's visions is that they are we've talked about this before, how they are possible branches of reality,
approximations of the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Not truly gospel, not yet. Much more so once he becomes the Kwisatz Haderach and drinks the water of life and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Definitely when Leto II has his visions and impressions, but that's not going to be in a movie, I don't think.
Yeah, man. I mean,
they just go crazy and end part three with Leto II, just like diving into the sands of Arrakis.
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what that movie's going to be, man? That's going to be an interesting one to see where exactly they decide to end this story. But we got a long time to talk about that.
Yeah.
This is a really cool fight scene. This is something that is, I'm just going to dive into my book notes on this one.
That's all of the movie notes there. It's mostly Paul's vision of watching what could be.
Yeah. So we don't get a fight scene that is like described in detail, as with most of the fighting that is done in Dune. Like it's kind of alluded to more than it's shown on the page.
Yeah.
So in the books, Paul at this moment he's going through it. I mean, he's going through his, like, what we will come to know as his awakening, his Kwisatz Haderach awakening, the same kind of ordeal that he went through at the sand harp or the spice harvester, 10, 15 minutes ago, in the movie. That's what he goes through at this point in the book. So he's stepping into that role. He's becoming more and more aware. It's described in the books as like his consciousness is reaching a higher plane, which is a very 60s way of describing that.
Yeah. And we kind of talked about it a little bit last week too, how the concept art for the, for the Fremtent was to make it look like the inside of a womb.
Sure.
Because this is that moment where Paul becomes where he is awakening as the Kwisatz Haderach, specifically in this moment where he's just like got the most concentrated dose of spice that he's ever experienced up until now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he's seeing the future, he's seeing the past, and he's seeing possible futures, like all this stuff. And because he's still like, in Mentat mode, it's what I mentioned yesterday. He's just taking all this information in, he's taking it, he's analyzing it,
processing.
Yeah. He's being his human computer self, and processing all this, but he can feel that something is different about him now. So we don't get any of these visions explained in detail. We just see that, or we just read that he is seeing the past, he is seeing the future, and it's all kind of becoming one big thing to him. Mm-hmm. And we do, it's either this minute or the next minute, whatever, but we do get the first mention of him seeing a path. Doesn't say to what. Doesn't say anything like that. This is just something that he feels is different about him versus other, like Bene Gesserit, is like he can see a path where they can only see the past. He can see a path forward.
Yep.
Which is the definition or a definition of the Kwisatz Haderach.
It is not necessarily a golden path just yet.
No.
But it is a path.
Yeah. And he describes many paths forward.
Yep.
So
we talked about branches in possible futures.
Yep. So right now he's still in his fugue state in the tent, going through this, tweaking on the spice and
coughing like a little bitch.
And I have to imagine Jessica is just sitting there watching him like, what the fuck is happening?
She knows what's happening, though.
Well, yeah, but still just like, time is still elapsing for her. Like, it's not just an instant.
Yeah, no, he's living you know, years mm-hmm. over the course of minutes, and she's just watching him. Once again, Paul's just fucking ripping salvia like a motherfucker.
So this is a pretty, you know, a pretty big moment in the books.
Yeah.
You know, Paul in the tent in the desert. This is his awakening in the books.
Kwisatz Haderach awakens, mm-hmm. as we've even heard the first time Paul was out in the desert.
Yeah.
So,
But that is all that I had for book notes. I got a little bit more on this tomorrow, so I will save the last little bit for them.
Well, we're going to call it there for today's episode, but tomorrow we have a very special episode. Tomorrow's episode 100 of the Dune Minute Podcast.
100. What a day.
What a day indeed. But we're going to wrap it there. You can find us on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are on Twitter at Dune Minute, and we are also available to email. If you email duneminute@gmail.com, we'd love to hear from you if you have any feedback or questions or anything like that. Otherwise, we'll be back to wrap this week up tomorrow.
All right. See ya.
See ya.